Swoosh, Auburn is going to be a Nike school starting next summer in 2025. And we're going to talk about who are going to be the winners of this new apparel deal and potentially maybe even some losers. With us on today's episode, we have notorious Nike truther, Under Armour hater. Is that a fair enough word on this?
Definitely, like a big pusher of. I wanted this to happen and it happened. Could not be happier. So.
The head of the anti Under Armour club, Brandy Mack, joining us today. It's been a while. You've been on Auburn Daily Show before. It's been a little bit, but welcome back. And we're gonna dive headfirst into the deep end, talking all about this new apparel deal. And I know you have been very outspoken about the hopes of this for quite some time, and we're going to get on right into it. It's your host, Alex, better known on the socials. You can find me at Auburn Memes. You know how we do it on there. With me, as always, you know, Brandy is always joining the antics online. But, you know, we get a little bit serious about a topic that I know we feel pretty strongly about. So we're going to get right into it on this episode of the Auburn Daily Show. So let's jump. Let's talk about this history here. Auburn signs with Under Armour. Was it 2005? What was the first year? Six?
Yeah, around 06 was the first signing with Under Armour.
Okay. So,
and then there was an extension in 2015.
Right. So, do you remember the 2005 Under Armour signing?
No, I was definitely way too young for that.
Okay. So, I do remember, or hold on, 2005.
It was the summer of 2006.
It was the summer of 2006. Okay.
It was a five-year contract. Worth $10.6 million that Jay Jacobs was athletic director then. And yeah. So
2005 is the last year, Russell, because I remember it was Brandon Cox. I remember it happened to that Brandon Cox deal. So that was right around the time I was going into high school. So that would have been my freshman year of high school. So I remember this pretty well. Russell was definitely like kind of the old school, like sweating in the fields or the old football field kind of brand. And it felt like Under Armour at the time was your like super state of the art, everything like that's not your daddy's coach type of it just felt very cutting edge from not only just a look, you had that all this new materials that they were using. Cause I remember like folks, it was back in this may sound like super lame and maybe my folks in their late 20s and early 30s will remember me, but everybody grew up in the Under Armour shirt. This was not done by chance.
I have Nike on. This was purposefully done, actually.
So. Yeah, okay. So that's pretty funny how it worked. But back then, everybody had those like really tight Under Armour like workout shirts. And like the whole point of them, like so it was, you know, at least with teenage lore, was like they'll keep you cooler when it's hot and they'll keep you warmer when it's cold. Who knows if like that's really what it did, but it was like skin tight. And like that was like the age where like you might have got your first like pec definition and like guys had like a little bit of like triceps and like flexing in them. And it was like, oh dang. Like if you wore that back then, you were the bomb. And Auburn's doing that. And you see the football players, see all this new swag. And you kind of have this, like I said, old school stuff, like with Russell that you felt like your dad wore and kind of looked lame in. And then you got this like cool brand that everybody was having. And it's like a impressionable teenager. Like that felt like a really good move. And if you look at the football uniforms back then, you look at the gear and the swagger that came from back then, it was a massive, massive difference when like that, you know, I mean, use this word, like, you know, that swagger was happening. That was when like Florida was doing all their things. You started seeing the, and that was also too, when like Oregon was popping up with all the alternate uniforms and the big time, Derek Dixon, you had more TV. This can sound kind of goofy, but like you had high definition TV. That was like when that was really starting to happen. You had these HD football games. So you could really see the uniforms on television, like as goofy as that sounds to be like a factor in this. But like it was at the time, at least in my opinion, I think a lot of others, like a cool and good move. But, and this is where I know you're going to take over, but it didn't stay that way for long. Let's talk about the when the honeymoon phase ended. I'm going to let you take this over. When did you or others start kind of having gripe? Because, you know, you moved to this, like, protect this house campaign and all these other things. Like, it felt like we're still going to the 2010 strong with this.
Right, right. And really, Cam signing with Under Armour as an Under Armour athlete after his Heisman campaign, then getting drafted and then becoming an Under Armour athlete, really kind of felt like, okay, this is maybe the spark to get Under Armour kind of not necessarily back in the spotlight, but definitely more so on the right track, because it didn't feel like how Nike and Adidas were coming to the scene. And Adidas was a little bit not quite as on the scene yet, but you could kind of feel like, okay, is Under Armour kind of dying off? I'm not really sure. And then Cam signed with them, and it was like a year or 2 years after Steph Curry signed with them. So it was almost like, wow, these two super prolific athletes just signed with Under Armour. And I would honestly say, even though their stock doesn't necessarily reflect this, that kind of felt like the peak of our relationship with Under Armour. And the years following that, I think it was more of a steady decline until around, I would say, 2015, 2016. And that's, I was a student then at the time, and I worked in the athletic department in recruiting. And I vividly remember our athletic or our equipment person at the time, really innovative and great guy, Dana. He was awesome. And I just remember sitting there and seeing him look at the Cam Newton cleats that they had released for football. And he was so excited. The problem was they had released them, you know, well after Cam had, you know, made his Super Bowl appearance with his MVP season, and kind of his like downfall had started in the NFL. And so I really want to say, like, probably 2 to 3 years after Cam's Super Bowl MVP run, I feel like it's really when that deterioration in the relationship with Under Armour and how fans viewed it, how other fans started to view it, and just in general, how their entire business started really sinking after that. I think they made some pretty poor business decisions. On top of that, Under Armour in general was definitely a victim of cancel culture. I'm not going to go into like all of the stuff that happened with their founder and CEO at the time, but there was a shift socially in how people viewed apparel, and Under Armour was definitely on the bad end of that compared to the Nikes and even the Adidases of the world. So yeah, I would say around 2 to 3 years after Cam's MVP run kind of really is really when I felt like the relationship started to sour. And it honestly could have had something to do with, you know, the turmoil that was going on in our athletic director's office with Jay Jacobs moving on, you know, the president stuff and all. Like, there was just a lot of movement happening at Auburn in general. And so I think all of that kind of like timing was happening at the same time.
Right. So I want to jump into that a little bit too, of that timeline there, because right in the early 2010s, 2013 is the year we're going to circle. This is when a lot of moves were happening with Under Armour, which in turn athletically would have affected Auburn. You have Jordan Spieth coming on board. He is big golf signee with Under Armour, young up and coming new generation of golfer at the time. And you also have Steph Curry, same stuff. At the time, one of the hottest, I mean, he still is, but that was when it really started around the time, just one of the hottest names in basketball, this kind of new way the game's being played, the sharpshooter from deep. That was when we started to really see that evolution of the game. You have Steph that comes on 2013 with Steph. So if you're thinking like, all right, we got some big guys here, they're going to move the needle. You kind of got Spieth with Tiger with Nike. You got Curry with Jordan and Nike. So you're kind of thinking like, all right, they're kind of taking the model and getting their own guys here. Also, too, you're getting there's other high profile colleges that were now not so much anymore. Signing on with Under Armour, they had a good share of the market. Course, right now your biggest schools is to be currently, and obviously Auburn is still with Under Armour at least for another year, but you have Auburn, you have South Carolina being the only two SEC schools, then you've got Texas Tech, Wisconsin, Utah, Navy, Northwestern, and some of your smaller schools like Colorado State, Coastal Carolina, Jackson State, Navy, Seton Hall, Wichita State, Yale. We all know how we feel about Yale these days. Lost to an Under Armour school in basketball. How embarrassing is that? And of course, you know, the bell cow of Under Armour, Notre Dame, which they just had the really big deal with here. And it's a small list, and there were more schools. There's less of them. You got brands like Nike that were growing with more of the college athletics move. You've got, of course, the is it Jumpman? Is that the technical name? Is it Jumpman? Is it Jordan? I don't know what you actually technically
would... I think Jumpman is probably what people call it Jordan brand. You can call it Jordan brand. Yeah.
I didn't know what even the technical name was. You got Adidas that's sort of coming on strong in the college apparel market. But generally speaking, it felt like Under Armour also in this time too was taking a little bit of a pivot, especially now away from college. They're not completely letting it go, obviously, with this new deal with Notre Dame, but it doesn't seem like that is the focus of the company anymore. You kind of tease in some of those factors that really went into it. I'm not going to necessarily say it's a sinking ship. It just doesn't have...
I'll say it's a sinking ship because I think it is.
I mean, okay, you can say sinking ship. I'm saying it is not the company's... I'm not going to say primary focus. It's not a top focus of the company. And that's not really somebody you want to be doing business with if it's... that's not what they're going to be doing. So I want to talk about the stock deal here, because this is where things really went sour. And this was a bad move. And this was one of the many moves that really led to the fire Jay Jacobs push that I was very much a part of. I was not sad to see him in Auburn part ways. And I think this is one of the biggest nails in his coffin. So break down the 2015 crossroads of Auburn and Under Armour.
Right. So that's when we signed the 9-year deal with Under Armour. And at the time, they said that deal was essentially like close to almost $78 million worth of value. So in 2015, whenever we signed that extension with them, which, like you said, that was, Jay Jacobs doing, Under Armour's trading at around $54 a share on the S&P 500. And now it is trading today at $6 a share and is no longer on the S&P 500. And that is kind of insane. So that deal, in doing that, they issued us $10 million worth of stock. And so, like we had said, it was trading at $54.70 a share. And the week before or the week after was like the highest that Under Armour stock has ever seen, even to this day in the history of Under Armour stock. So really, that's like the worst time to ever, quote, buy stock in something is when it's at its peak. And that's exactly what Auburn did. Obviously, it's really hard to, predict the market, especially in this kind of thing. But that's like that's pretty sad. And at the same time in 2015, just for reference, Nike's stock was trading at around $65 a share and Adidas's stock was trading at around $44 a share. And today both are much higher than that. Nike, I think, is trading around $90 to $95 today. And that's after multiple stock splits have happened since then. So really it's a lot higher than that. And then Adidas is trading at around $100 to $111 a share. And so both of those stocks are obviously still on the S&P 500, and Under Armour is not even on that anymore, which in the finance world, that's a pretty big deal. Under Armour got taken off of the S&P 500 in the summer of 2022. So 2 years ago. On top of that, that company has just seen like multiple leadership changes and CEOs. They've gone through like three or four in the last 6 years or so. And so from just like a dollar standpoint, from where just how Auburn kind of plays a part in this, we really did not see much value from an equity standpoint in that 9-year
You're back.
Signing was supposed to be like a blockbuster type of... Oh, sorry.
No, we had like a 4-second cutout, but you're good. Keep going. Keep cooking.
Okay. So it's estimated that the actual deal itself in the last 9 years has lost $8.6 million worth of value. And I imagine that probably played a pretty massive part in our administration making the decision to switch from Under Armour to Nike. Because back then, like I said, that contract was worth $78 million. Like, that's a lot of money.
Now, so the date that happened, that was, give me the exact date that they signed the dotted line for that.
Back in 2015, the exact date.
For the month is fine.
September 2015. And so, yeah, September of 2015.
So that is conveniently, literally, when Under Armour stock was trading for an all-time high. Okay? An all-time high. And then here you are 2 years after that. Now, granted, they did have a stock split in 2016. But in 2017, your stock is now plummeted to $11 a share, where it was up at in the mid to high 50s. And
right.
You have to have a stock split in there. You're down there. And then, of course, today, like I said, you're trading around six. That was six and change, 660 as it sits today. That's like what it was trading for in 2007. Of course, like I said, one stock split. But I digress. It is what it is. Now, we don't know all the time, you know, what was the type of stocks. Obviously, there's different types of stock that could have been there. We don't have necessarily the dirty details of that. But regardless, yes, I mean, that was not a good deal for Auburn. And the problem is you made a deal. You signed the dotted line at the absolute peak of the stock. And if you just look at the trends, it just goes downhill, major slope, then kind of has some bumps and then a little note to where it is today. On the comparison of that, if you look at Nike stock, Nike has just been on a very, very consistent climb. Now, obviously, post-COVID, there's some drops and there's other market things, inflation that's affecting everybody. So we're not going to take a look at that too hard. I mean, that's just the nature of everything right now. But if you look steady from like the early to mid 2000s and just where it will, the company as a whole is obviously being run much better than Under Armour. Now, do you remember in 2015 when that deal, because I remember there was a lot of controversy about it back then, about what was going to happen, what they were going to do. Do you, you're obviously a little older, more involved at the time. Do you remember when that happened?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I was a freshman at Auburn when that happened. And I, the next semester, started working for the athletic department. And I will say one thing that was very positive from the Under Armour deal was all of our athletes were extremely well taken care of when it came to the quantity of like gear that they were given. They were given a lot of gear. It didn't matter if you were on the football team, the swimming team, the basketball team, the equestrian team. There was just a plethora of apparel that Under Armour gave our athletes. And so I will say that is one thing that was super, super positive from that. But really outside of that, like nobody really talked about being excited about Under Armour. Like we had just signed that deal and it wasn't necessarily like a conversation that got people excited. It just kind of happened. And
yeah, I remember that too. In the money deal, it was like, cause back then it, you know, in pre-inflation, here we are using that word again, but that was just such an exorbitant amount of money with the stock and all, look at the stock's doing, it's going up. Like it's going to be worth more. It was almost just like, Auburn could have, they were gave Auburn such a big number they couldn't have said no to. So everyone's kind of like, oh, we'd have rather done something else, but like we get it. They're really committed to working with Auburn. So like, you know, we'll ride it a little bit longer. That was kind of how I remember the mood of that feeling. And you are right. And I've heard that too from a lot of different people. That was a huge factor into playing into the Under Armour deal as well. And I forget the number, but I do somebody remember like comparing it to Nike, then Under Armour. And yeah, it was like you get a hoodie, a shirt, and shoes. You know, it was like a very small little amount of gear for the athletes. And then comparatively for Under Armour, I mean, it was like, hey, we'll stock your closet. I mean, it was crazy how much stuff they were willing to toss to Auburn coaches, facilities, all that, which, you know, kind of makes you, all right, hey, they're committed to working too. You look at where the rise of the company is. There were factors that they probably should have been seen of where that was going. But regardless, if you make a decision that ends that way, you got to kind of fall on that sword, which inevitably Jay Jacobs did, because that ended up being a very bad decision for Auburn. And that was also something that Cohen was judged upon when he was going to come here, because that was one of the big things coming up. It's like, all right, get a new athletic director. Hey, fam, what are you going to do? Let's remember famously here when, and I want to kind of transition to our next topic here, with Wendell Green leaving, he was like selling all his Under Armour stuff like on his Instagram.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He was like posting his shoes on his Instagram and was like, who wants to buy these from me? Like, now, so even with the Nike news that's come out, like talking about athletes that were at Auburn during Under Armour, there's been multiple athletes now that have come out and been like, yeah, I was actually wearing Nike's cleats. I think Gerard Powers was one of them, right? Who was saying like I don't know if that's when we were still sponsored by Russell, but he posted online somewhere that, you know, he's like, I always wore Nike when I was at Auburn.
A lot of players, but like secretly. Yeah. So I want to get into that here, kind of transition to our next topic. So that's kind of like a lot of the history, and definitely in the last few years, yourself being one of the ringleaders of this, it has been the steps to divorce have been very evident. People have been very outspoken with how they're disgruntled about it. We're going to get into that. I want to go to a little show sponsor read. So first and foremost, we are going to shout out Plains Coffee. If you're tired, you love that morning, midday, evening, just whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Maybe just love the taste and smell of some high-quality coffee. Plains Coffee has got it. Use that promo code Auburn at checkout. You get 10% off. You get that fresh ground coffee shipped directly to your home, office, wherever. They get it to you. And, of course, for my folks that had been really upset about the Under Armour deal for a long time, or maybe you loved Under Armour, you're sad they're leaving. It doesn't matter. If you're in the Auburn or Opelika area or the Birmingham area, you should check out the Rage Room, respectively. The Birmingham Rage Room and or the Opelika Rage Room. Both sister locations to one another. They offer all the same tons of fun. Where you can just go in there and get a room full of stuff, break all the things. Make sure you're checking them out at BirminghamRageRoom.com and OpelikaRageRoom.com or the respective area. Book your session online there. Make sure to tell the staff that, hey, you know what? I heard about this deal on the Auburn Daily Show, and guess what? They can hook you up with a bucket of some free stuff, some extra breakables to smash during your session. They also have a splatter room as well if you have a little paint fight. Maybe you got some young ones, Rage Room, not your vibe. They get that too. Lots and lots of fun. Tell them you heard about it on the Auburn Daily Show. Well, thank them for sponsoring this show. Now let's get into the topic here. Who will be the winners of this? How will Nike be better? Because there's some old heads. You kind of see the Facebook comments and all this. Oh, you know, we're Miss Under Armour. And there's just some old heads that don't like change. You already kind of teased it of when this deal came out, you saw a lot of players come out or like, hey, you know, we've been rocking with Nike, you know, since day one. We did the practices, we had to put tape over the logo, whatever. And I think it is just becoming painfully obvious. And so I want to start with the first winner of this. It's definitely just going to be the athlete. I am not playing any sports at that level, so by no means am I going to go out here and say I understand what it's like to run a 4.4 in some cleats, because I don't. I might be able to drive a 4.4. I can hit the gas pedal. I ain't running it. So maybe like a 10.4. I don't know what I'd run these days. It'd be rough. Give me cookie cake at the end, might speed me up a little bit. But there were definitely some performance issues. Can't speak to them specifically, but there have been many players that were outspoken about the quality, the comfort, all the things. Obviously, a lot of those former players came out to say it. There have been current players who got to kind of keep their mouth shut. And then you have some famously players that transferred, Bree Ellis, right, who were very outspoken.
She acquitted an injury.
Yeah.
Multiple injuries on her team to Under Armour.
Very outspoken that the Under Armour gear was maybe, I don't know if unsafe, that might be too strong of a word here. But yes, I mean, they said that, you know, maybe had the stuff been better quality or this and another, that it could have made, prevented injuries, better performance, whatever it may be. Now, how much of that is just truth? How much is in frustration? We don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, these are all opinions. I mean, there's going to be people that research this, but the problem is the people that typically research this are paid by the companies they're researching for. So how do you really know how biased and unbiased the data is? But I think you do have a lot of opinions that of people that they feel better about playing in this gear. All right, so we could say the athletes would be the real winners here. Who would you think you're next? Who do you think you're next? And I would say athletes on the court or field or wherever they're playing respectively, because they also wear the stuff off the field. So I think you kind of got, you can split that in two categories. Who is going to be your next winner of how Nike's going to be better than Under Armour?
Yeah, I think that my next winner is going to be public perception of Auburn. I think that's may, some people are like, well, who cares what other people think? And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether you do or don't like how somebody views the team that you cheer for, but public perception is super important for a multitude of reasons outside of the recruiting aspect of it, outside of just general, like, these are schools that I see in the upper echelon of certain sports. Like, public perception is massive, and that's a huge thing. So our two, I would say unequivocally, without a doubt, our two biggest athletes that are the most well-known across the country are Charles Barkley and Bo Jackson. And both of them are and have been sponsored by Nike their entire athletic career post-Auburn. And those are two guys that we have statues built for outside on our campus. Those are two guys that are consistently in the public eye. Bo Jackson, you know, he's more in the public eye through charity and through other reasons like that. But Charles Barkley is on broadcasts on TNT after NBA games, during NBA games, during the entirety of March Madness. He is on commercials throughout all of March Madness too.
He goes, Capital One, shout out.
Right. He goes on news stations like Fox, and he'll go make public appearances at tons of different celebrity golf tournaments. He's very involved in life in the United States. Like, everybody, even if you don't keep up with sports, like, people know who Charles Barkley is. And when those two individuals have either visited, spoken on, or whatever with Auburn, they have never been able to wear Auburn Under Armour gear because they are Nike sponsored athletes. And now having those two guys who are consistently in the spotlight, very well respected across the country in their respective sports and in their industries, be able to tout Auburn in Nike gear. And Charles specifically was somebody who was outspoken about wanting Auburn to sign with Nike. That is so massive when it comes to public perception, because now those two guys don't even have to speak. They can just be wearing Auburn Nike gear. And that is putting off, you know, public perception that our two biggest athletes, like, they love Auburn, they want to support Auburn, and they're doing that. And we all know both of these two guys love Auburn, but to make sure that the rest of the world knows they love Auburn is really important for who we are and who our brand is. So I think public perception outside of, like, the athletes itself is probably the next biggest thing for me. And I think public perception also flows into the recruiting aspect that this will have and how it will impact future Auburn athletes that are going to come here or that we recruit to come here.
Yeah, so, you saw a lot of current players that were excited about this. I mean, it's definitely going to be a good thing for recruits. Now, one thing I kind of want to just tamper expectations here a little bit is I think there were some people that got excited. Oh, this will be a huge recruiting tool, and all this Under Armour's costing us recruits left and right. I don't think that much is true. I think it definitely helps. It does not hurt. But are you going to really look at and be like, oh, we would have gotten this, and this guy, or this girl if we'd had Under Armour, or sorry, if we'd had Nike over Under Armour, we'd have won this game. I don't know if it's going to be that extreme. It might make your recruiting pitch a little bit easier. It definitely doesn't hurt. Sure, it can help, but I don't think it's going to be this, like, whoa, look at this big noticeable jump that we got. That's Under Armour, or sorry, that's Nike for you.
I don't think it's going to be like that. I think the best way to describe the impact on recruiting, because it's not like, oh, we have Nike now, so we're not going to miss on any of these five-star basketball recruits we're going after or whatever it might be, because we can just be honest here. I think the sport that it impacts the most from a recruiting standpoint is basketball. But I agree with it's that. Not
because I think football probably is the least. Because football, maybe. Hear me out. From a football standpoint, right now, league development and NIL is going to probably be moving the needle more than that. Because at the end of the day, if I want to buy some swagger, I just go buy it. I got money from wherever my deals are coming in. But other sports, some of your non-revenue generating sports, like, this is going to be the swag that they get. And they may not necessarily have all the extra money to go out and buy, like, nice sports swag. So, like, this, I think it can actually, they can be a little bit more of a winner here as well. Now, but I still do agree with you. I think this is going to have the biggest impact for basketball, just due to the fact that you're going to have guys playing in much better shoes. You have football players kind of complaining about the cleats as well. But I think for basketball, I mean, that was really where you saw this shoe technology really, really develop, was with basketball. I mean, it really started with Michael Jordan, and this has gone on. And there have been, as we kind of mentioned earlier, Wendell Green, there have been guys that just maybe didn't necessarily love the Under Armour shoes all that much. And then also, too, just the aesthetics. I much hate to say it, but like, Nike stuff just looks really clean, comparatively speaking.
Yeah. And I think on the recruiting part, though, like the, at least for basketball specifically, and maybe this applies a little bit to football too, but like you had already mentioned, it's not the end all be all. And it's not like we're going to get all of these recruits because of it, but it does open doors to some recruits that I do think were previously closed. And I think that's the best way to describe it from just like a recruiting standpoint is, I hate to use him as an example because there's like zero chance of him of there would have been zero chance of him coming here anyways. But off the top of my head, it's probably like the easiest comparison that I can or easiest kind of person I can throw out there off the top of my head. But Bronny James, there was a 0% chance that he would have ever gone to any school that was not a Nike school, like 0% chance because of who his dad is and who his dad is signed with. And right. We do see that actually in basketball a lot more, that there are individuals who go to schools, or there are individuals whose parents were, whose fathers were in the NBA or are in the NBA. Like Dylan Harper, for example, his dad played professional basketball and at a very high level, and obviously was a great collegiate athlete too. But his son, Dylan Harper, was one of the top ranked recruits in this 2024 class. And so you just see that more common in basketball to have, you know, second and third generations of players who are really, really good that are going there. And like we'd already talked about, there's just not that many high profile or just in general athletes that are still signed with Under Armour. And also like on the Under Armour, like basketball front of it, Joel Embiid had a pretty long deal with Under Armour. And in November of 2023, he decided to end his relationship with Under Armour. And so really in the basketball realm, Steph Curry is kind of like their only thing that they're really holding on to at this point.
Right. And so, that's been a huge struggle for them, where, like, as we kind of said, having Nike will be probably a much better, more exciting apparel deal for the players.
Right. I think Under Armour was just a door closer in that aspect. Like, we definitely would have had 0% chance with recruit, or we did have 0% chance with recruits because of being an Under Armour school.
Also now too, like at least tournaments and stuff like the Under Armour games versus the Nike games that a lot of these like high school guys get involved with.
Right. So there's in basketball, there's Nike EYBL, and then there's the Adidas circuit and the Under Armour circuit. And it's very rare to find a basketball recruit who is very passionate about the Under Armour circuit. There's just way more eyes in like on Nike EYBL and just like in general, like that circuit compared to the Under Armour circuit. And I would say even the Adidas circuit is like more popular than the Under Armour circuit. So yeah, I mean, Nike has just been enthrashed into basketball because of AAU for so, so long. And so, yeah, I mean, from a recruiting standpoint, like this is going to be really big to be able to have possibilities that weren't necessarily possibilities before.
Right. And like I said, it is not going to hurt. Just want to still tamper with some expectations. Just because Auburn isn't going to be a Nike school doesn't mean, oh, well, we're going to see the 2026 class be a number one basketball class. Like, it may not be like that type of jump. Like, maybe, as you kind of said, there's a new door open that otherwise wasn't open. And there's this guy here. Or maybe the sales pitch to get this guy that was a little harder maybe starts getting a little bit easier for coaches. They can focus on some other things. It's one less hurdle they have to overcome. I'm sure you see that stuff. Absolutely. It doesn't hurt. But I mean, future time will tell us how much it will help. And I, for one, am excited to see it. I think fans win too. Just the swagger is going to be a little better. I've used that word a lot, but it's such a good word for what's going to be happening here. I remember, I bought one but the Ball for More, the Final Four shirt, I mean, everybody, a lot of people hated that design. It was kind of really weird looking. First Final Four, I feel like you probably could have had a cooler shirt than that. Still have it in my closet, still wear it. It's really comfortable, but, you know. That's the thing about it. There's still comfortable stuff, but I will just say, like, I'm wearing this Outlive shirt. Love the Outlive shirt. Love Outlive. Love the cause. Obviously, I think fighting cancer is a pretty unanimous cause you can all get behind here. But I bought one of these last season. I bought an XL. And because the lady's like, I kind of fringe depending on how much, like, you know, junk food I've had that week between like a large and an XL. And I mean, I bought that XL. I was going to get a little bigger. Okay, be fine. You know, give me a little room for some nachos at the game. I think fit like a medium. I mean, I looked like the Pillsbury Doughboy in that thing. This is a 2X and it's still like not exact. It's still like a little like tight. And I'm over here just like, what did they use to size these? Because like, every other shirt brand that is like your medium, large, XL, there's some slight variance, but this is like almost a size and a half, two sizes arguably like off. Like if I threw like one of my boys in this that actually wears a 2X, like we'd be seeing belly button. It's brutal. So I hope that with Nike, when we do have some stuff like this from just a fan perspective, I just want some clothes that fit and have cool designs. I'm not saying that they honestly don't. I applaud and I'm happy that, you know, Under Armour has been so willing to work with Auburn for a while. So I don't want this to be necessarily an Under Armour bash fest, but we can't tell the whole story without the goods and the bads. And unfortunately, the reason the relationship had to come to an end is there were more bads than there were goods. And also, too, I do want to mention two things before we start to close this out. One, I mean, we can't forget the deal, and I'll let you get in this before I get close my final point here. But the Tim Cook involvement, we've gone a really long time with forgetting about that. And I think that's a very important factor to this whole deal, because you mentioned Charles and Bo, and there are other Auburn athletes with different people. I think you mentioned Walker and Jabari with Adidas. Is that correct?
Yeah, Walker and Jabari are both signed with Adidas. Correct. And
Cam's still with Under Armour, right?
Cam is still with Under Armour. And then Suni Lee is not signed with a major like apparel brand like a Nike, Adidas, or Under Armour. She is signed with Crocs and a couple of other different.
That's sick. I personally was on the Auburn being a Crocs school. Could you imagine how sick that would be? Just seeing Janai out there in a pair of Crocs, like that would be so lit. I'd love that.
I would too.
When the Nike deal's up, I want Auburn to be a Croc school. Just imagine the like, little gator up there. Everybody's got holes in their cleats. That'd be tight.
Oh, another big time athlete, one of the highest paid. I think he's a top five
Just imagine this right here. I got a prop. Just this with
that
like
is
an
incredible.
Auburn. With an Auburn logo on it, like an orange and blue Croc. That's what I'm talking about.
They make those. I'm pretty sure they do.
I know John Cohen's a big fan of the show. Just saying, if Nike doesn't pony up, they don't have a good renewal deal after this. Let's talk to Crocs. Get Suni could definitely make the calls. Now, your dog's a Crocs fan, that's for sure.
I know. She heard you say Crocs. She got excited.
Yeah, I know. I know a lot of people did. How long is the Nike deal? Was it 5 years, six, nine? What was the number?
I don't know if they've come out with any of the details on it yet.
Okay. I didn't think so.
Right. I don't think I've seen any of the details come out yet, but I think that it was reported that Auburn was trying to be very, like, they didn't want to overstep because we do still have a year with Under Armour. We still obviously want to get their gear. And for this last year that we have, then we want to be able to make sure that our athletes can perform how they're able to perform with the gear that they send us. And so I think they were very like particular about how they released everything. I do know that as of 2020, we haven't sold off any of our Under Armour stock. So I do know that part. Don't know like what that looks like right now. How long the Nike deal is.
Let's just dump that stock, North End Zone renovation, basketball practice facility, like just swallow the lumps and let's just make Auburn better and just turn the page of this figuratively and literally.
Right.
And no, so I do want to finish your thought, and because I want to get my last one here though. because you, well, did segment into that really well.
Yeah. And the only other thing really that I wanted to say too, like one, I wanted to say Derek Brown is also a Nike athlete. We didn't call that out earlier.
Big contract there.
Yeah. So in March of 2020, he signed with Nike as a Nike athlete. So our kind of next coming football figure that we have is Derek Brown, in my opinion, and he signed with Nike. So wanted to point that out, but also, again, like the public perception winner piece of things, which you had just touched on a little bit with Tim Cook. It was reported that he was very heavily involved in getting both Nike and Auburn on board with this deal.
Board of directors.
Right. He's on the board at Nike. And I will say our own fans have said this, but it's mostly obviously our rival fans will say that he does not like athletics, doesn't like sports, doesn't get involved. Well, public perception says different when he was a spearhead in getting Auburn to switch and sign a deal with literally Nike.
And it's in his Twitter bio too. So
yeah, exactly.
Same people said SUNY Lee didn't like Auburn too. So
right. They're full of it. So public perception on that front and just potentially, you know, his relationship with Auburn could expand. I don't know what his donations look like to Auburn, but there's no telling what doors this could open with not only Tim Cook, but potentially any other influential boosters that are probably like not in the spotlight as much as people like Tim Cook are. But there, you know, we have no idea what influential boosters that we have that may have serious connections to Nike with it being an international brand.
Right. And that was actually a good segue for me to close this out. My final thought, and you're seeing the word eras get tossed around, right? It's getting to be younger millennials, Gen Z, you know, the era word, right? Thanks Taylor Swift on that one. So we're about to be, what would the young folks say? We're about to be in our Nike era. Is that a fair use of that phrase?
Yeah, in our Just Do It era. That's what I'm going to call it.
Or just Do It era. I'm incredible. We're starting out here. So Auburn's about to be in their Just Do It era. But I do think there's almost this interesting symbolism there. And I'm going to sprinkle some philosophy in this here. But there's definitely kind of this big change of kind of this shift just generationally with kind of like the closing of, you know, the post-COVID, you know, the Malzahn, just kind of like what this new, back to my word, era of kind of what Auburn looks like. I think we're kind of on that horizon of that, kind of the big reset with everything. Like, all right, basketball is where it is. You're seeing women's basketball kind of on the rise and baseball. So everything's kind of this shift up, changing from where it was to kind of that new decade and sort of we're not going to live on the past anymore. It's time to kind of pave a new future. And I feel like in a weird way, Under Armour kind of represented an era of Auburn where there were some incredible memories. And myself, and I know you, we grew up and we were students during that, and it was awesome. But I feel like this really kind of is almost a symbolic shift to it's time to make new memories as Auburn. It's time to do new things. It's time to reach new heights and achievements. And part of that too means the Jabba, we're putting Jabba behind us. It's on the new, bigger and better things. The way that we're seeing with NIL and the way that the sports as a whole are changing with athletics and the money that's involved in it. I mean, a lot of that stuff has really come just hugely full circle really in the last like 2 or 3 years. And I think you're just going to see a big change in all of sports. I think this is like a really good way for Auburn to kind of, it's coincidental, but I'm going to connect it a little bit further than that, kind of turn the page to get in that, as you said it, the Just Do It era. And I think kind of represents a fun sort of rebirth, recommitment to just being the best that they can be. And I think the timing, that's like really, really interesting. And it could be a good sign of things to come for Auburn. I love it. The Just Do It era.
Yeah, I like it too. And I think it's also an era of, I think signing with Under Armour almost felt like we were trying to be different and innovative. And we thought that that was a way to be able to do that. And there are some instances in life and business in general where it is better to blend in with everybody than it is to try to be different. And I think signing with Nike is a perfect example of that. Yes, our rivals may already be and have been signed with Nike for a long time, and other people within the SEC too. But when you're looking for a differentiator, you want a differentiator that's a positive, a net positive to you. And Under Armour was not necessarily a net positive differentiator for Auburn. And I'm hoping that this is kind of a direction in which leadership realizes that being different isn't always a good thing.
I agree. And I think at the time when they first got with Under Armour in the mid-2000s, when those talks really started coming up, I think it was a great move. I think being different, innovative, kind of cutting edge back then was great, because I think Auburn kind of had that kind of, you know, that old, little too much of that old school in them. Kind of, all right, you know, we'll line up in the power eye, run that just old school, just smash mouth offense. And then you move to Under Armour, and then very shortly after that, you're running this really cutting edge spread offense. And then you're winning national championship with it, setting all these records. And it was like, whoa, Auburn fast. Just that was that fun change. And it really kind of helped Auburn establish that new identity. But you're right. I mean, sometimes maybe you don't necessarily need to be constantly chasing that identity, because it kind of been there and done that. And I think you said that perfectly. We don't have to necessarily strive to just be different. We can just make a move, because from a business standpoint, it makes sense for us. And we're not going to let outside factors of rivals or whoever else assigned with the school have any factor into that. And I mean, unfortunately, that was kind of a narrative that was out there. And I just don't think that's a really good one. I'm happy with John Cohen's leadership that he was able to get that pushed through. Look forward to seeing the rest of the details of it. And yeah, we're Nike school.
Yeah.
Just do it era. So that is going to conclude all my thoughts. Do you have anything else that you want to wrap us up with for this transition as we conclude this Auburn is a Nike school episode?
I think this is a massive win for the people. And I'll leave it at that.
For the people. The barn wins. Oh, I love it. Well, Randy, thank you so much for jumping on here. Of course, everybody can find you on Twitter at
Brandy Mac with 3 E's.
There you go. All right. A little pause there. We'll get that better next time. Yeah, Brandy Mac with 3 E's on Twitter to see all the nonsense and chaos that Brandy just absolutely just revels in every day on the internet. Never a boring day if you're following and interacting with Brandy on Twitter. Same deal with me. You know where to find me on Twitter. You know what kind of chaos I'm up to every day on the interwebs as well. But guys, on a more serious note, if you want the best of what's happening around Auburn, make sure to check out auburndaily.com. Check them out on all the socials. The staff writers who are constantly putting out awesome content on there do an incredible job. Of course, Charlie Five will be on here for the Top Button podcast if you're listening on, or you're watching, I should say, on YouTube. Checking us on podcasts, of course. Thank you there. If you're not, make sure to like, support, do all things. Support show. Guys, that's going to conclude us. We'll be back at you next time. I can't even tell you what the topic will be about, because there's so much that's changing every day. We don't know. But whatever it is, I got my fingers crossed. You know what I'm thinking. There's one topic I want to cover. I'm not going to jinx it, but you know what I'm talking about. Listeners out there, you know what I'm talking about. So there's some news I really hope we can have.
Give it 10 days, 11 days max.
Okay. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. Not going to jinx it, though. You know what we're thinking. That's what I want the next episode of the Auburn Daily Show to be about. But if not, we'll have something else good. There'll be some other good news come up. Guys, that's going to wrap us up for this episode. We'll be back at you next time. Thank you, Brandy, for joining us. And everybody's listening, have a great day.